Luke chapter 6. I believe God wants to do something this morning, more than I have in a long time. They changed the stanza with the song, but I wrote this down as a question I want to pose before we turn in our Bibles. Luke chapter 6 and Luke chapter 8. I want to look at two different references, but ask this question, I guess, based upon what they just said. What if we really believe that God will meet our every need? What if we came in here this morning like that? I mean, honestly, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I have a lot of needs this morning. Whew. And there's a lot of times, Brother John, I categorize them. No, God, I know you're going to do that, but boy, that one, man, that one right there is just, it really doesn't seem like you're doing anything there. And I don't know, for me, I have a lot of needs this morning. Anybody else? Anybody else in here? Just a handful of hands? I think that if we believe this morning, God can meet every need. That's a bold statement, isn't it? That's a really bold, well, you know, preacher, I get it. But I don't know if he can meet my need. Well, then why are you here? Is it just a social experience? Is it just something I want to be morally better? I don't want to hang around with a certain crowd anymore? Or have we lost that impetus that I'm going because I'll tell you what, and it ain't changed for me. I forget sometimes, but it ain't changed. I remember the first time I went to church after I got saved. And I didn't go to church to get saved. I got saved outside of church. But man, once I got saved and I realized that he had fixed a couple needs immediately, I said, man, there's a whole lot more. And I'm going to bring them. And I'd come with that anticipation to church and I'd say, here's my need today, God. I'm gonna listen and I believe you're going to say something today. It's not that the preacher's going to say something. Is that the word of God is going to be opened up and faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And with that in mind, and listen, if you're in here and you walk out of here and you don't get your need met, it's because you didn't want your need met. Trust me. Just follow me for a minute. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 6. It's not where I want to be, but I want to dive in somewhere. It's a big book. There's a lot of verses. I've studied all week and had things on my mind all week. You haven't had what I've had on my mind. So I got to get you there. That's the porch, Brother Andrew. Got to get you on the porch to get you in the house, but I want that porch to look inviting enough, you know. Jake and I went on visitation the other day. There was a lot of porches that ain't nobody been on that porch in a long time, and you could tell. And I want to invite you. I want you to know this porch is easily accessible, and it should be inviting. Verse 12 of Luke 6. Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Now, he is him, capital H. And he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Ah, boy, I tell you what, Wednesdays are so hard. Yeah, pastor just doesn't realize all the things that are going on in my life and a family and kids and a yard and a job and all this stuff. And man, I tell you, sometimes he'll go till 8:45. 9 o'clock, I think I've seen him go before. They continued all night in a mountain. They didn't have central heating and air. And continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, and then he begins to name the 12. You come down to verse 17, and they've come down now from this mountain. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people. Now watch this. He says, out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Whew. Wow, I mean, there's no, it just, it right, boom. They just got right to it, didn't they? And they were healed. Maybe, I didn't see this when I was studying, maybe sometimes it'll take an all-night prayer meeting. Jesus said to that father, didn't he? And to his disciples, that father had that boy. It was just in a shambles. He off-tossed himself in the water. He off-tossed himself in the fire. I came to your disciples. They couldn't help. Jesus touched him, healed him immediately. And he then told the disciples, he said, this kind cometh forth through prayer and fasting. Maybe that's what our churches need. Separate message. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, verse 18, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them. What's that last word? Is that in everybody's Bible? Healed them all. A great multitude and everyone there. I don't know if I've ever read a place in Scripture at any other time where God, when he went somewhere, everybody was healed. Now, there is no, what's the word I'm looking for? Miswrites. There's no mistakes in the Bible. All means, it doesn't mean some, doesn't mean a few. It wasn't an evangelistically over-exaggerated summation of what took place. The Bible says the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciple and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And then you hear all the way down to the end of that chapter, if you have a red letter Bible, all the way down to verse 49, Jesus continues to preach. Now turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. How about if we go to verse 35 to set the context? Then they went out to see what was done. Now this is same book, different story. Okay? This isn't a comparison like last week where we're looking at the same story in three different books. This is the same book, different story, but watch what takes place. Verse 35, they went out to see what was done. This is the story of the Gadarene demoniac. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You come down to verse 40. He's left them. Gadarene demoniac's healed. Now he departs. The Gadarene demoniac, now clothed in his right mind, wants to be with Jesus, and that's what happens. You get clothed in your right mind, you don't want to go back to that crowd. You want to hang around with a crowd that helped you. For the life of me, I can't figure this out. Somebody gets help, and then they go somewhere else to add to that help, and then they end up in the same place they came from. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Verse 40, the Bible says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all, there's that word all again, they were all waiting for him. No doubt they had heard, no doubt that some of them had seen all that was transpiring. I mean, this is amazing. You read the Gospels and it's just, you know, it's what Jesus said to John's disciples that came to him. He said, John's wondering, are you he, or should we look for another? And he said, tell John this, the lame walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear. That's all you need to tell him. And the only one that can do that is God. And they even questioned that, and God explained to him, can Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? God is the only one that can do those things. And it was God's confirmation that that was him, that was his son. They were all waiting for him in verse 40. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. You know the story. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now they're all over him. I mean, throng, it's shoulder. You know, it's like elevator with 20 people on it. You know? They thronged him, the Bible says, and a woman. Now a woman comes up in this great multitude of people, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent, here's that word again, all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So she had spent it all trying to get this situation taken care of. It wasn't just something that, you know, she had a bad day. This is years of physicians, years of money, years of seeking how she can get this need that she had in her life met. She, verse 44 says, came behind him, him being the Lord, and touched the border of his garment. And watch this. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" That question isn't there for them or for us or for anybody. That question isn't there for him. He knew who touched him. He's getting clarity because there's those that are thronging him and there's this woman that's touching him. There's a difference. When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude." Now we're two chapters before. These guys just got named as the disciples. He's teaching them just as much as he's teaching everybody else. "Master, the multitude," and he goes back to tell him, "throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?" What in the world? Ain't you figured this out? You know, how are we supposed to decipher this? "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him." Now we have, he fell down at his feet, Jairus. Now she's fell down at his feet. "She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all," there's that word again, "the people, for what cause she had touched him." She was not going to hide this situation. And if you study this out, somebody with an issue of blood and so on and so forth, there's a lot of Old Testament law with that. There's a lot of responsibility with that. She just couldn't go about doing that. But watch this. She had a need. And proper decorum wasn't in her mind as much as getting the deliverance for the need. I think we get too much proper decorum and miss the need getting resolved. "Before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him." She was not embarrassed in that crowd to say why she was touching him. Boy, if we could have that in church. "And how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet speak, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." So we still haven't forgotten Jairus, right, in this big giant crowd. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter." Now, obviously, it's not written in here, but Jairus has invited him, or Jesus has followed Jairus back. Jairus wants to see what took place. Obviously, he's lost his daughter, but Jesus says, hey, if you'll believe, just believe. Jesus follows him back and came into the house, verse 51. "He suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they," another crowd, "they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again." Boy, just when you think it's over, huh? Just when you think God will never answer that prayer. "Her spirit came again and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning, I plea. There's so much bouncing around in my head, Lord. As is any time I look at the Gospels, there's so much to be seen.
I see the room. I see the people in the house. There's so much. The crowds, the multitudes, the Gadarene demoniac. There's so much to be seen here. I pray that you'd give us sovereign eyes this morning and just see what needs to be seen so that we can get the help that we all need. I don't know the individual needs in this room today, Lord. I may know a handful. I may know some. I may know more than necessary even for me, Lord, in my mindset, in my daily walk. But Lord, you know each and every single need in here today. And Lord, I'd even go as far as to say there's not a person present this morning under the shingles of this sanctuary that doesn't have a need that you need to touch. So help us today. Let us be honest. Let us be transparent like this woman was. And Lord, if you'd just give us enough faith to touch you and help in that need, we'd be forever grateful. Help us, I plea. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I was listening to some preaching this week, just for me personally. I don't know if anybody else does that. I was listening just for me this week to some preaching. It was from another location below a certain line in the United States. I won't mention the line. Might ruffle some of y'all's feathers. But I just wanted to listen to some preaching this week from a camp meeting that was down there. Many times for me, preaching that is when God speaks the loudest to me. And it is then I trust that he will say something to me that I am needing to hear or that will aid me in my journey. I let other folks fill the pulpit here. I'm looking forward to the missions conference. Missions conference doesn't necessarily mean God's going to send you somewhere. I think some people are scared of that. Missions conference will show you that you need to minister somewhere. You can't go through a missions conference and not see the need to minister somewhere. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I always look forward to when other people preach, because that's when I say, I have no part in this, God. I'm just a willing vessel to hear what's going to be said. And I trust that when God speaks, he'll say something, whether it's even on Mother's Day. I believe he can speak to all of us. You can sit in the shadows. I was at a youth conference the other day, Friday, sitting in the back. I just wanted to be an encouragement and show the young people I cared and be participatory and show that pastor in the area I was behind them and what they were doing. And I sat in the back, and all of a sudden the message was how to make a bad decision. And I said, well, yeah, these young people really need to hear that. Little did I know, by point 10, it helped me an awful lot to prevent myself. Anybody else besides me ever made a bad decision? Okay, two people. All right, I appreciate that. I'll just preach to you guys this morning instead of everybody else. But it's when God speaks to me. I open up my Bible. I grab a pencil. I'm trying to, God, speak to me. I want to hear something. And so this week again, as that time took place, it was in the Gospels. Honestly, for me, I know I mention often books that I am in and how special they are to me. It seems like every time I study a book, I'll say, now, this is my favorite book. Philemon's become a very special book to me. But in all actuality, I would have to say that the Gospels hold a very special place in my life. It was those books that I first started reading when I first got saved. Rodney told me and Calvin told me, the Gospel of John, you want to get right in there. The Gospel of John, and then you want to read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And then I started reading all the short books in the Bible, you know, because it seems like it's so hard to read, four chapters of something. But the Gospels have always held a very special place in my life. I do not know if it is because of all the personal accounts of Christ and what he does or what it is exactly. Maybe I trust if he did that then when I read it. Maybe I just say to myself, if he did that then, he'll do that now. I mean, the woman at the well, I preach with an anticipation. Honestly, I want you to know this. When I come to the pulpit, I preach with an anticipation that God is going to do something through his word. And so maybe it's that. But I do know this. I'm often very much encouraged by what I've found as I read them. If reading them can encourage my heart, I can't imagine what it'll be like one day soon to be in His presence. This week, while listening to that message, a word stood out to me, which I looked up. Now, some would probably say, it's that word all. I mean, you kept mentioning that word all. But there was another word that stood out to me, and I looked it up. I love doing that. I love how my computer set up. I used to have a Strong's Concordance before the computer did this. And every word, I never forget when I first come across the Strong's Concordance and every word in the Bible's mentioned. And then you can see where all they're mentioning. And we have an every word book. Boy, they're trying to mess it up. But I appreciate the fact that God preserved an every word book that I could have it. That I could look every word up and see the impact and the emphasis that He has behind it. This week was one of those. The word was, anybody notice it? Anybody want to take a guess? It's used twice. Huh? What? No, not immediately. No, virtue. Virtue goes out, Luke 6. Virtue goes out, chapter 6. Virtue goes out, chapter 8. Twice. I thought, wow. Same scenario, same situation. Virtue, God is imparting virtue. They're touching, this woman's touching Him. And He says, who touched me? I perceived that virtue went out from me. And Peter's, what in the world? Everybody's touching you. And the other one, they sought to touch Him and virtue went out and healed them all. Wow, this virtue thing, there's something about it, isn't there? So I looked it up. It is used 6 times in Scripture. Now that's what gets me sometimes. You look up words and you think something that powerful. Man, that's going to be all throughout the Bible. But then you see it's just the minimal use of it. Could I say that? And then you think, wow, this is going to be one of those times when, you know, like the word success is only mentioned one time in the Bible, yet society chases after success, but they're not chasing after the definition of success, which is only found in the Bible. So we see this word virtue, it's used 6 times in Scripture, and each of those times it's only used and mentioned in the New Testament. 3 of those times it is used in the epistles. I think it's first, it's used by Peter, and then it's used by Philippians. How's that go? So, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then Peter used it, he said, add to your faith. Virtue and the virtue, knowledge, temperance, and so on and so forth. And then there's another time Peter used it, and I said, interesting. So the New Testament used it 6 times, 3 times in the Gospels, 3 times in the epistles. In the epistles, that word virtue means manliness, valor, excellence. Add to your faith, valor, excellence. Get better than what you are. You're the one that has to do that. We're going to give you faith, but now you got to add excellence to it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might is unto the Lord. Excellence. It means manliness. It means valor. The other 3 times in the Gospels, Mark uses it once and Luke uses it twice. When used by the Gospel writers, the word virtue is translated force. Specifically, a miraculous power. By implication, a miracle itself. It means ability, abundance, might, miracle, the work of a miracle. It means power, strength, and a mighty, wonderful work. And isn't that what we see in here? That virtue went out, healed them all. That virtue went out and healed Jairus' daughter, and it healed this woman with the issue of blood. It is the Greek word dunamis. I'm sure you've heard that before. It's where we get the word dynamite. It's powerful. Dynamite's powerful. It is the Greek word dunamis, of which we as well find that word all throughout the New Testament. And it is translated most times to the English word power. It means the same thing. Luke uses this word, or it's translated virtue in these passages. In other passages, it's just used as the word power by itself. Paul uses that word and begins to clarify the use of that word more. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we see this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dunamis, the power of God, the gospel, God, what he does, the death, burial, and resurrection, the good news of what we heard last week, that's the power of God. That's how he fixes these needs. I didn't fix this need I had when I was lost. Somebody didn't tell me what I needed to do. I didn't go to the doctor and get a prescription. I touched him. I touched the finished work of Christ, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so with that little bit of clarification, and I could go again, every message for me could be a series. There's so much to learn. That's why each of us has to be a student of the Bible ourselves. With that little bit of clarification regarding this word virtue, I want us to go back and look at the two times that Luke uses that word, and we've looked at them. We've read those passages of Scripture. He uses that word virtue in his gospel account and begin to make some comparisons between the two accounts. I want to see what was similar, and I want to see what was different. As I looked at and studied each of these two accounts for the use of this word virtue, I found several similarities. Because again, it attracted me. It's only used three times in the New Testament. And I wanted to see what was so powerful about this. And so there's some similarities. I found several of them. And yet there was one major glowing difference in these two accounts in the same gospel. Not two different stories of the same account by different gospel writers. The first account, we've read it in Luke 6 and verses 17 through 19. The other account we find in Luke 8 verses 40 through 48. I want to, by way of introduction, I want to look at the similarities first, see if you see what I see. The first, we see the crowd was similar. Now look at this. In Luke 16 and verse 17b, the Bible says, and a great multitude of people. So Luke describes this first crowd that virtue went out. It's a great multitude. I mean, I don't know what that means. A great multitude means a great multitude. If you've ever seen a great multitude, it's a great multitude. it's better than five. I don't know. It could be 500. I don't know. I know when he fed the 5,000, he gives us a number of 5,000, but yet there were not just men there. There was women and children there, and some would say that crowd was probably upwards of 10,000 people. That's just absolutely amazing to me. We see the crowd was similar. In Luke 6, it says it's a great multitude. In Luke 8, verse 45, it says, Master, the multitude thronged thee and press thee, and sayest thou who touched me? So that crowd was so big that you couldn't even decipher who was touching him and who wasn't touching him. That was a big crowd. So we see the first similarity was the crowd was similar. Here's the second thing that I noticed by way of introduction. The climate was similar. And you say, how'd you know what the climate was that day? I'm not talking about the temperature. I'm talking about the climate. What was taking place that day? What was, you know, social awareness? What was happening around them? I'm talking about the atmosphere of the people. What was the atmosphere of the people like? In Luke 6, they were waiting on him. When he came down and stood in the plain. Now, how long had they been waiting? I don't know. They were in a prayer meeting all night. Not only that, is the distance from where they came. It says in verse 17b, he came down and stood in the plain. They were already there. It states in verse 17b, and a great multitude of people now begins to describe this climate that was taking place out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, those are not two towns in the same like how Ohio does it. The church is in Stowe, but says where Cuyahoga Falls, and that's still the most confusing thing I've ever understood up here, but that's a message for another day. Tyre is here on the coastline, and Sidon is further up above it. So we can gather that the climate was, these people were there. They were excited. They were joyful. They had waited. There was all this that was transpiring. You go over to Luke 8 and verse 40, the people gladly received him. Now, this is a little different. It's not the same location. He comes into a town, and they're there, and they gladly receive him. In contrast to where he was with Gadarenes, the Gadarenes come down, and they're bothered by this man that had problems. Now he's clothed in his right mind, and it messed them up. Now, he's not in that town. He's went somewhere else, and they gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So He stood in the plains and they were already there. He goes to this town and they're all waiting for him. The climate I see is similar. Then the third thing that I saw wasn't only the crowd was similar, the climate was similar. I see the cause was similar. You see that in the passage of Scripture? The cause was similar. If not, can I say this? The same. In both passages, everyone came to see Jesus and everyone needed help. There wasn't then and isn't a time now that Jesus shows up or will show up that the crowd isn't in need of help. You say, preacher, you're reading into that an awful lot. Am I? Be honest with me today. Is there anybody in here this morning doesn't need help? We're people. There's none good but God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we were so perfect, then I guess we could walk with God and we'd be not like Enoch. So I think that it's safe to say the cause was similar. They were all in need. Fourth thing that I noticed, it was similar. The crowd was similar. The climate was similar. The cause was similar. The context was similar. We have two places where we see Jesus doing what Jesus does and people are touching him. One, it says they've thronged him. I mean, you know, I could give an illustration. Throng for me puts me in a panic attack. I mean, I was at the Friday night thing. I don't know if anybody was watching me. Whew, man, I just kept moving to a corner and trying, and I kept saying to myself, I'm here. I'm enjoying myself. And I was just moving into a corner, and it was just, I mean, there was one time I was just sitting there minding my own business. Brother Baldwin, who was there? No, and they were on top of us playing a game, and I'm thinking, social awareness, please, hello. And I kind of scooted out. You were there, and I scooted out of my chair. And then, lo and behold, Mr. Introvert, they're going to have to find you when you stand in the corner. Should I put a sign up that when I'm standing in the corner, I'm protecting myself? I'm being social. That's my socialness. Right, Miss Laura? Now, if I'm in the middle, come throng me. But I'm in a corner, stay away from me. Can I get an amen from the socially anxiety people that are introverts? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And someone says, Pastor, are you an introvert? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't believe what Sunday after I get home looks like after being around y'all. The context was similar. We have two places where we see Jesus doing what Jesus does. People are touching him. And virtue, the power of God, is seen and experienced. And can I just say, as a pastor, this is what every pastor wants to see. People that come to see Jesus getting healed of all their diseases. It's amazing to me sometimes you can go to church and the same water, let me give you a personal illustration. Same water that'll harden an egg will soften a potato. But it's the same word. Same handshake going out the door. Preacher, I love that message. Next one gets in a car and says, well, I think he was just telling me that today. The context was similar. Here's the next one. The crowd was similar, climate was similar, cause was similar, context was similar. The cure was similar. Or should I say the same? Luke 6 and 19, Bible says, and a whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Luke 8, the woman with the issue of blood is healed and Jairus' daughter is healed, yet all of them were thronging Jesus. And this is where we begin to see the differences start standing out. Next we see, I know the crowd was similar, the climate was similar, the cause was similar, context was similar, cure was the same. The conclusions were vastly different. Why is it that in chapter 6 it states in verse 19b, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all? And yet in Luke 8, when he is thronged about by so many, and so many were touching him, he asks. Now, Jesus wasn't asking for him. He was asking for them because watch this. Can I fast forward to the invitation? I hope everybody came here to touch him. I came to touch him today. But here's the difference. He didn't ask for himself. The doctrine of God teaches us that he is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Why is he asking this question? Because now he gets clarity. Who touched him? Who's he get the clarity from? The people that were touching him for what they needed. Does anybody else see that? The conclusions are different. I don't want to force you into believing what the Bible teaches. I hope you can see it for yourself. When he is thronged about so many and so many were touching him, he asked, who touched me? And then states in verse 46, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. We only get to witness this lady amid the crowd being healed, and then afterwards only Jairus' daughter being healed. Same Christ, same cure, different conclusions. And as I read of these two accounts of virtue, I believe it is safe to conclude that in the first crowd, everyone that was present that day had issues, and he healed them all. Verse 19, I said that already. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. That's not a misstatement. That is a confident statement from the Word of God that all Scripture is profitable. I can believe that book. Then, the second crowd, we only see two people are healed. And so I asked myself, why so vastly different? Why was so many things that were similar in these accounts, was there an ending that was so different? And the ending that was different, I believe, when you study both of the details, you can see the differences and find the answers when you study them out. Study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You have to be a student of the Bible and say, what happened here that was different here? What was done here? What's the principle here that's not followed here? Why isn't it everybody was healed? I believe we can find the answers. With that being said, I want to preach on this thought. We're going to walk through the door. I hope the porch was inviting enough for you. Again, I go back to, do you have a need this morning? There are things that I need God to do in my life. I need a miracle. You say, you, Pastor? Oh, my goodness. You would be surprised how many things I need God to do where I can say to him in recent days, God, this is, you got to do something here. Does he just pick and choose? Is God a God that just picks and chooses who he helps? Are we to believe that? I mean, there's enough of that on WCRF that'll teach you that Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved, and God's figured out who he's going to save before the beginning of time and who he isn't, and you just happen to be part of the crowd. No, God isn't. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is a whosoever will gospel. And can I say this? It's a whosoever will healing as well. I want to preach on this thought. I came to see Jesus, but he didn't help me. You ever been there? There are tons of people here that day. Came to see Jesus. Can I tell you, I believe we're living in a day where it's just almost habitual. I'm going to church. You going to Sunday school today? Yeah, I'm going to Sunday school today. I'm going to church. I'll get to see so-and-so. I'm going to come. We're going to see Jesus. I said, how many weeks ago? I said, when I come, I want to see God. And I'm going to see God in the little, tiny things that are taking place. We got to see God this morning. I got to see God this morning already. Would you like to rewind the tape and see where Elizabeth would be this morning if not for God? If Mike and Emily didn't get saved, and Mike come back from Afghanistan, and Mike didn't follow the Lord and seek the Lord and get help, and Miss Emily didn't, and where would Elizabeth be today? You say, oh, that's God. God's got to figure that thing out. No, God's already figured it out. He needs you to figure it out. He needs me to figure it out. I came to see Jesus. Isn't that what they did? But he didn't help me. If you walk out here today and you have a need and you don't get help, it ain't the preacher's fault. I am so tired of people at darkened doors of churches saying, yeah, I went to that church. They didn't help me. I tried to get some help. They, They didn't help me. I'm going to tell you what, that woman didn't say that. That woman having Saul, she didn't give up all of a sudden, John. She didn't say, okay, I've seen all the physicians in my area. I've went to all the Cleveland clinics. Went to all the places, nobody could help me. I've spent every dime I had. Nope. She kept pursuing until she got the answer for her need. I came to see Jesus, but he didn't help me. Why is it that one meeting with Jesus, everyone present is helped and healed, and yet just a day or two later, with so many similarities, only two are healed and helped? I believe the answers can be found at the first meeting that weren't present at the second meeting. First, in Luke chapter 6, these are so simple. In Luke chapter 6, Jacob's digging, buddy. He's already got the first one down, don't he? What's the first one, Jake? You're trying to alliterate it already in your head, aren't you? The letters for today are D and H. Luke chapter 6, what was different? Both came to see Jesus. The second group, all of them didn't get help. The first group, all of them got help. The first thing I noticed, it was different. Group number one, there was a determination to hear. There was a determination to hear. Now let me make my case. Verse 17, and he came down with them, the disciples, stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, they had already gotten there. They had traveled from quite a ways away. They're waiting for him to come down in a great multitude of people, and he begins to explain it. Out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to, what's that say? Hear him. They came to hear him. They traveled far and wide, and here was the intention. By the writer of the gospel, said they came to hear him. There was a determination to hear. And while they were there for the hearing, it says, and to be healed of their diseases. What was noticeably different in Luke 6 versus Luke 8 was they came first off to hear, and I wrote these three things down. There was a determination to hear in spite of the travel. The travel wasn't going to set them off. Now the second group, they're already there. He came to their town. They didn't have to travel. It was convenient for them. Can I talk about convenience in the day we live nowadays? Can I talk about YouTube and social media and radio and TV and everything else? The convenience of hearing, well, I go to church. Oh, I was listening to you. Oh, I get text messages sometimes. Yeah, I was listening to the message. Where was the sacrifice? Where was the sacrifice that was made? These people made a sacrifice. There was a determination to hear in spite of the travel. Bible says he came down with them, stood in the plain, the company of the disciples, a great multitude of people, and he listened. Judea, Jerusalem, the sea of coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him. The people there that were present came to hear him on purpose. They were determined to hear. It didn't list healing first, and I don't believe that was a mistake. It listed hearing first, and it goes along with Scripture. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It listed hearing first. They traveled to hear. Judea from Jerusalem was 19 miles away. They didn't have a car. They didn't have transit. They had to be determined. Now watch this. He was there that night. When did they leave to get to 19 miles there? I used to ride 16 miles on a bicycle. Do you know how long that takes on a bicycle? That's a haul on a bicycle. Camel, I don't know, 19 miles. That's a haul. Here's the next one. Jerusalem was where he was at. 19 miles away is Judea. Tyre is 35 miles away. I'm talking about there was a determination to hear in spite of the travel. Tyre was 35 miles away. You go up the coast to a town called Sidon. That is 50 miles away. 50 miles away in a vehicle, not as the crow flies, but as traffic flows. 50 miles is what? Could be an hour and 50. I went down to, what's the W down there? What's the next W county over? Wayne County? Worcester? Worcester. Worcester? I renewed my CCW. Am I saying that right? Is it Worcester or Wooster? Depends on who you ask. Ask the natives that were here. They'll tell you what it really says. And you go down there. What's that, about 50 miles from my house? It takes a little over an hour. Depends on if you get behind a tractor. That's a haul. What am I trying to say, preacher? There was a determination to hear in spite of the travel. Many people will come from a distance if they're going to receive something. Their motivation first was hearing something. You know why so many people will never get the help they need? Because they won't sacrifice the travel and the time it takes to hear. I've been in this long enough. People want deliverance. They don't want dialogue. Fix it, preacher, fix it. I've said to people many a times, it took 30 years to get here. You think it's going to take 3 minutes to get out of here? It's going to take some determination. I've said this before. I heard this from my preacher. I don't say this very often because it's a different time that I pastor in versus my pastor pastored in. My pastor used to say, I do free counseling 3 times a week. Ah, boy, I needed counsel. I said, okay, let me find out when he does this. He said, Wednesday at 7, or Thursday at 7. We had Thursday midweek services. I said, that's an odd time. Sunday morning, and then I went, okay, I get it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, or Thursday. He says, if you can't make it there, then there's no determination to hear anything I got to say any other time. Do you know what I've found out a lot of times? People take a lot of time. They're not really wanting to listen. They're wanting a quick fix. There was a determination to hear in spite of the travel. Secondly, there was a determination to hear in spite of the time. Verses 12 and 13, it came to pass in those days that he went into the mountain to pray. Who knows how long they were standing there? Who knows how long they were waiting? You know, it nauseates me nowadays to see what Americans, just Americans, I've been to other countries, but just Americans will wait in line for. These Pokemon cards that are at the stores now and all that kind of stuff, and you see them and they're waiting in line for it, or a ticket or a concert or a this thing or a that thing. They'll wait, they'll get chairs, they'll wait in line overnight for that. Church, yeah, you know, I'd really like to come. Whole life falling apart. The concert won't fix their life. Christ will fix their life. Where's the determination? There was a determination to hear in spite of the travel, in spite of the time. Their determination to hear manifested itself way before he ever came down. It manifested itself way before he ever came down. They were already there and traveled to him, determined to hear what he had to say. Number three, there was a determination to hear in spite of the travel, in spite of the time, in spite of the train. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? Look at a map. Pulled up a map on my computer this week while I was studying this. You look at the map and the train that had to be traversed, and then look at Luke 8 and see that there was no time, there was no travel, there was no train. Jesus just came to them. Jesus made it as convenient as possible for them to just hear him. So many want something, but it's too inconvenient for them. You know, you really need something. It's going to get in the way of your convenience sometimes. Is that okay for me to say that? We're in this, man, you get in the line at the checkout at a grocery store, or even one of these fast food restaurants. I mean, didn't we hear of a tragic event how many months ago? Because somebody got in line of somebody else, Miss Jessica down there. And that's the day we live in. No patience to wait whatsoever. A determination to hear in spite of the time, the travel, and the terrain. Can I just hone in on this and express why it seems like it's the same today? Because so many want something that they're not willing to sacrifice for. Jesus feeds the multitudes, provides a miracle and a meal. But when he starts the message, they begin one by one, the Bible says, to leave. Jesus turns to Peter and asks him if he will also leave. Peter's response explains it all. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know why it is so rare to really see a whole church crowd, for all of them to really get the help they all need? Because so few are determined to hear what God has to say. You have a problem today? It might have been covered in Sunday school. Can I just say Sunday school floors me nowadays with people? The picking and the choosing. That is a discipleship program to get up close and personal in a specific age group or a situation of people. because so few are determined to hear what God has to say. You have a problem today? You need healing? You need help in a specific area of your life? What was the approach to today's service? Did you come just to see Jesus, but you'll leave here this morning still needing help? The results are up to you. Next, as I study these two accounts out, I think I've proven the first. Came to see Jesus, but he didn't help me. Didn't help you possibly because there wasn't a determination to hear. That woman with the issue of blood, I brought this in. You can't show it up here. But I brought this in because as I was studying this, I used this Bible on my desk, and then I used one on my computer, and then I used this one. In Luke chapter 6, in a red letter, I know it's all red letter. That's where the event takes place. Look at this. That's all Jesus. He's just talking. Talking away. Nobody cuts him off. Nobody's going to the bathroom. Nobody's falling asleep. Nobody's using a child for distraction. Nobody's flipping through their phone. Everybody's sitting there. Jesus is talking. Nobody cuts him out. You come over two chapters later. My glasses broke. 8 and verse. Here we are. So the event takes place here. Black. Flip it over. Look at that. Do you know the difference? Do you know who's listening? Do you know who's hearing? Jairus is hearing. The woman with the issue of blood's hearing. All of the other ones were hearing, but they weren't listening. It's amazing to me, Sunday school teacher, you ever notice this? Amazing to me as a preacher. You sit there as a shepherd and you say, God, that's for the sheep, ain't it? That person's going through that. That person's struggling. And you sit there and then all of a sudden you look around and you go, oh, they didn't come today. You look around, they're fiddling, they're diddling, they're on their phone, they're poking each other, they're talking, they're completely distracted. Invitation comes. If you need help today, would you just come? Would you come? Not because you're coming to me, but you'd come to an altar and say, God, would you please help me with this? Because this is the place of help. There was a determination to hear. Secondly, there was a desire to be healed. That woman didn't know she was going to get healing. Those people didn't know they were going to get healing, but they heard. And in that hearing, faith began to manifest itself. There was a desire to be healed. And a great multitude of people, verse 17c, out of all Judea, Jerusalem, and of the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. When you read of both accounts of virtue going out, God's power that is, the first crowd came to hear and they came to be healed. Verse 19 we read, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. I go to church. Yeah, I go to church. I go to church. You think by touching him, you think by just getting close that it's going to rub off somehow. How about if this was the last invitation? What was it that somebody was saying in the song? If thou hast faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say this mountain be thou removed. How many have that? I'll tell you what, I struggle with it sometimes. And then I read that portion of the scripture and I say to God, I'm believing, but man, you got to help my unbelief. There's a desire to be healed. The second crowd wanted to see him, but they didn't want help. Only two in the second crowd pushed and pressed to get the need they had in their life healed. And it was manifested by what they heard. There was a term years ago when I was coming up in church about tarrying. I have sat in church services for hours, tarrying one for another. You know what that means? We're going to wait till they get help. Nowadays, we're ready to get out the door. Man, I got to get to Rockneys. I got to get here. I got to get there. There's so much other stuff. What is so much more important than your healing? That you sit there. That woman wasn't going anywhere till she got what she needed. And if you can't get it, this man, Jesus said to him, believe. They had to go back to the house. You say, I'm here today, but there's a lot of problems in my house that are falling to pieces. Well, how about if you just bring them to the altar this morning? With the determination to hear the solution for the problem and a desire to be healed. God, I desire. And then have enough patience to wait on him for the deliverance of that. Where's your desire today? Anything you need God to fix? Where's your determination? Which leads to our last. I could hone on these so much more. I came to see Jesus, but he didn't help me. You leave today with a need in your life that you don't get help for. It's your own fault. The older I get, I'm tired of being the reason people don't get help. Because they have to find a reason. When the reason for getting help lies within you. Hosea needed help. That help wasn't in Gomer. That help wasn't in something else. That help was in God. And when you get help in God, you don't need everybody else to hold your hand. There was a determination to hear. There was a desire to be healed. Which leads to our last, verse 19. There was a decision to be honest. There was just a decision to be honest. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Chapter 6. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. In our first encounter, the whole multitude sought to touch him. In the second encounter, you only hear of two people. And she is not bothered by the crowd. I have watched people as a pastor that you know they're just sitting there. You can see God working in their life, sitting in a pew. And you can see the message has an impact and there's tears in their eyes and you just believe like God is really stirring in them. And then all of a sudden it gets to the invitation. And can I say this sometimes? Young people, I was sitting in the back watching the young people the other day for whoever was there. Alicia, were you as well? You were one of those ones down front. It was so nice to see you down front and what God's doing with you. And you were down front. You got to see people too, didn't you? Do you watch how they're playing? They came for whatever reason. Popping, chewing gum. I mean, I was sitting around and I was going to myself. Were they not? Popping gum, sunglasses on, didn't have a care in the world. And I'm thinking to myself, you do not even realize what the days ahead hold. And everything you need right now is found right here. If you just grab a hold. My goodness, I wish somebody would have taken me to a youth rally when I was spinning out of control. And just been able to hear those words and want to hear those words and a desire to be healed in my situation. But it comes with a, what did I say? A something to be honest? Decision to be honest. That woman did not care about who saw her. Can I just say something about our ranks? We think a suit and a tie and a dress and long hair and a shaved face makes us right with God. Honesty makes us right with God. I would like to think I'm a whole lot more transparent than most. I think my transparency sometimes makes some of y'all uncomfortable. Because you want a Catholic priest. And I ain't a Catholic priest. I'm a fallen, broken man. But God heard my cry. And he lifted me up and he put my feet upon a rock and he established my goings and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise. And many shall see it. Where did I get my help? I didn't get my help from somebody. I got my help from him. And he has become so special to me. But you know how that happened? I made a decision to be honest. And you know where that decision is made? In good, solid churches. It starts in the pew and it manifests itself to the altar. We have lost the altar in our churches nowadays. We've lost it. We've lost the mourner benches. There's something to be said about old-time religion down in the South. I've been to so many times. I remember the first time I went to a church and they had mourner's benches. I was trying to figure it out. I was Catholic. You know, you came into a Catholic church. You know how that works. You hold your little Hindu beads in your hand, your Muslim beads in your hands, and you come and you flip down the little thing and you come and do your little thing and you pray your big bead prayers and you pray your small bead prayers. And there's really never any honesty. Them mourner branches, they came down there and they mourned and they prayed like we said Isaiah did. Like we said Nehemiah did on Wednesday night. God, I'm the one that's praying. You know, many times I ask myself this about church growth. What am I doing that's holding back the church? Am I not leading right? Am I not preaching right? What is it I'm doing that's hindering the body of Christ from going forward? When's the last time we've seen somebody walk down and get saved? God, is that me? Have I grieved your spirit? Have I quenched your spirit? This woman didn't care, Ryan, what anybody else thought. I've been in services where people, God, I remember when I first got saved, and it's happening coming up this week, Victory Baptist Camp Meeting, North Augusta, South Carolina, and I went in that church, and they had that camp meeting, there was people going up there. Man, I was a mess. I was an absolute teetotaler. I've been saved, but man, I had so much baggage. And there was these people getting up there, and they were during the services, and at the invitation, they were coming up, and he'd hand the microphone to me. He said, man, I'll just tell you what, preacher. I've been dealing with pornography for this many years, and I've been dealing with this and my drug addictions. And I'm sitting up there going, these people had suits and ties on them. I'm coming. Man, if they're like this, where in the world am I going to get help? And God began to break me and say, this is where you can be honest. I've sat there and watched hundreds get saved during a week. Where are those days anymore? And I got up there trembling, man. Took a microphone in my hand and began to be honest. Got done, went to the altar. Men come around me and prayed. And I went, and God, little by little, began to take what was broken and what was just ashes and began to make them beautiful. Because I had a determination to hear. For how many years, have I got any family in here this morning? Where's all my family? How many years I drove 42 miles one way to church? Several times a week. You know why? Because I believed faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I said, God's going to do something, say something, and he's going to heal my marriage. He's going to heal my family. He's going to heal my broken heart. He's going to heal my battered, bruised body. And then in every one of those moments when there was an invitation given, what was the first thing I did here? Is invitations. Someone's coming to the piano. If you have a need in your heart, would you come forward? That's honesty. You say, but yeah, they might do that down south. No, there's altars all over in the Bible. Abraham never built an altar in Egypt. He came out of Egypt, got serious with God. He built an altar. You've heard me say this, and I'm done. You've heard me say this before. I was in a church, and they'd sing that song. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And this lady, every time they'd sing that, she'd go. And I barely got out of high school. Ebenezer, what in the world? I thought this was an Ebenezer. Stick your little nose up in the air. I didn't know what it was. Started searching through the scriptures. You know what an Ebenezer was? It was an altar. Was an altar for the person to get honest with God. Our churches are starving for honesty. Starving for honesty. You know why? Because you're worried about what somebody else will think. And you know what? Can I just be honest? I do not care what you think. If you ain't figured that out now, I do not care what you think. I care what God thinks. I do care what you think, enough that I'll be honest with God and say, God, examine me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and I'm going to take it to the altar, and I'm going to beg. I'm not going to let go of the hem of your garment till you fix it. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Could we be honest this morning? Did we come to hear you? Did we come to get that need that's in our life healed? Or did we just come again, Lord? Lord, you know the things I say to you on a day-to-day basis. Could it be today, God? Could be today the day I not let go of your garment and you fix it? I'm trusting you will. Help us each and every one that we may go out of here and not just to be touched, but everybody be touched and healed. I plead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.